19, which is the first one on Shabbos morning, you'll remember that the whole second half of the chapter is about Torah study and how amazing Torah study is and how joyous it should be and how what a great way it is for us to be able to connect to Hashem. But the first part of that parak, chapter 19, was all about creation. It was all about connecting to Hashem through nature. And if you recall, when we studied chapter 19 of Tehillim, that's what we discussed, was the Torah, Tehillim was providing with us a paradigm of two ways we can connect to Hashem. We can either connect to Hashem through nature, or we can connect to Hashem through a more elevated, transcendent opportunity, which is through the Torah, the playbook, the blueprint that Hashem gave us. That was all chapter 111. Chapter 111 was Ode Hashem Bechol Levav. Right, again, I'm going to sing praise to Hashem. Why? Because Gedolim Maaseh Hashem. Because Hashem's actions are so great. Drushim L'chol Chafetzehem. Even though Hashem is so great, nonetheless, anyone who wants to access it can access it. Because you don't have to be a Talmud Chacham, you don't have to be a particularly wise person to be able to go outside, see the grass rising and the flowers sprouting and the sun rising, and to be able to appreciate the majesty of God's creations. I was out early this morning, and one only needs to watch one sunrise in their life to realize just how amazing this world is. That was all chapter 11. That was all connecting to Hashem through nature. Chapter 12 is the flip side. 112, excuse me, is the flip side of it. Chapter 112 provides us with a third way of connecting to Hashem. And that is not through nature. It's not even through Torah. But rather, it's through righteous people. It's through seeing tzaddikim and tzidkaniyos, through righteous men and righteous women, that you and I actually have the capacity to come closer to Hashem. Now, how do I know that's true? And the answer is from the first word of this parak. The first word of the parak says, Hallelujah, Ashra Ish. Oh, let me share my screen so you guys can see this for those who don't have it. Oh, no. That's... Hold on, sorry. You don't want to see that, but you do want to see this. Okay, so we have, Hallelujah, Ashrei Ish, Yirei Asaranai B'mitzvosav Chafetz Mod. Again, these aren't complicated words, but they're magnificent words. Hallelujah, we're going to praise Hashem. Ashrei Ish, Yirei As Hashem. Praiseworthy is the one who fears God. B'mitzvosav Chafetz Mod. And he strongly desires his mitzvos. Now, the Das Mikra points out here, now, what does it mean, Hallelujah? Because what we're really going to describe in this chapter of Tehillim is a righteous individual. Is it tzaddik? So why are we praising Hashem at the beginning of a chapter describing a tzaddik? Shouldn't we be praising the tzaddik at the beginning of the chapter? So says the Doctor's Mikra, that actually, it's through seeing the Yirei Hashem. It's through seeing the person who's b'mitzvosav chafetz mod, someone who is punctilious in their performance of mitzvos, that we actually come to praise Hashem. It's dafka by seeing people that inspire us, that motivate us, that encourage us to be better. That is how we actually come to Hashem. As the Torah tells us, v'davka bo, that you and I have an obligation to connect to Hashem. That's very hard to connect to Hashem. After all, I can't see Hashem, I can't feel Hashem, I can't smell Hashem. Right? So how am I supposed to connect to Hashem? Answers Chazal that the way we connect to Hashem is through Dibuk Talmidei Chachamim, through connecting to wise, righteous individuals. And by us connecting to them, we actually get a glimpse into the midos of Hashem. We get a glimpse into the characteristics of Hashem. After all, the way we live our lives here on this earth is V'halachta Bidrachav. We are supposed to emulate God. And therefore, if we conduct ourselves in the ways of the Torah and mitzvos, when people watch us, they're actually also getting a glimpse of Hashem. They're getting a glimpse of the attributes of Hashem. And so, Hallelujah, we sing praise to Hashem. Why? Because Ashra Ish Yirei As Hashem B'mitzvosav Chafetz Mod. Dafka, because we're looking at someone, and we're singing about someone who is a Yirei Hashem, who fears God. B'mitzvosav Chafetz Mod. Listen to those words, who is not just mitzvosav chafetz, right? He does mitzvos. But mitzvosav chafetz ma'od, he is exceedingly excited in the performance of mitzvos. Das Mikra also points out a very beautiful idea here. First of all, you'll notice that like last week's chapter, this week's chapter is also in the Aleph Beis structure. Each pasuk has an Aleph and a Beis. So you have Ashrei, and you have b'mitzvosav. The next pasuk you have Gibor, and you have Dor, Gimel Dalet. The next pasuk you had Hey, for Hon, and Vav, Vitzikaso. So you're going to go through the entire Aleph Beis. We discussed that a little bit last week. What's interesting, though, says the Das Mikra, is that he suggests that the phrase Haluka is actually structured as call, right? If you've ever been, I've never been in a church, but I've been at an APAC policy conference, which sometimes sounded more like a church than it did like an APAC policy conference. And when you have those pastors get up there, and those, the rabbis get up there, and they're like pontificating, and everyone's like, yeah, you know, very nice. And then the pastors get up there, and they're like rocking it, and everyone's like, hallelujah, you know, right? So everyone's so exciting, okay? So if you've ever gotten a glimpse of that or seen it in a movie, so call is where the pastor says something, and you respond to it, right? That's like a classic way of sermonizing in different denominations of religions, right? So I would say something, you know, I would say, can I get a halukah? And you'd say, halukah, right? That's call, okay? So it's a give and take, as opposed to our drushes, where I get up there, and most people just go like this, and they've used it for a 20-minute shluff, right? In other churches and synagogues, no, there's call. In other words, it's a give and take. In fact, when we've hosted Pastor Mario Bramnick for some of our events, he speaks in that cadence, right? You know, he wants to elicit that reaction from the crowd. So the Das Mikra says this was actually structured as call. In other words, I was supposed to say, Ashrei ish, Ashir, Yireas, Hashem, Mitzvosav, Chafetz Ma'od, and what are you guys supposed to respond? Hallelujah! Literally, Hallelujah! Right, we're praising Hashem. And then I'm supposed to say, Gibor Baretz, Yezaro, Dor Yisharim Yivarach, and you're supposed to say, Hallelujah! Right, there's a give and take, says the Das Mikra. What's clear, though, is that when we're describing the righteous person, when we're describing someone who lives their life with honesty and integrity and dignity, right, that is a form of praise. When you and I live our lives with the virtues and values of Torah and mitzvos, we are essentially causing praise to Hashem. Okay? So we praise Hashem not only with our mouths, but this chapter reminds us that we praise Hashem with our actions as well. When people see us, and people see the way we behave, and people see the way that we conduct ourselves, are they saying hallelujah? Are they saying, wow, I want a piece of that? I want a piece of that Judaism? I want a piece of what that person is on? Or are they saying, I don't want any of that. If that's the way a Jew behaves, if that's the way a religious person behaves, then keep me as far away from it as possible. We are a representation of Hashem here on this earth. That's what chapter 112 is about. And so if 111 is seeing Hashem through nature, chapter 112 is seeing Hashem through us. Think about that. It's seeing Hashem through us. That by the way you behave and the way you conduct yourself, someone can actually get a glimpse of the midos, the characteristics, the values that Hashem wants us to represent, and therefore of Hashem himself. And I'll elaborate that a little bit more at the end of the shir as well. So hallelujah, ashrei shirei asaranai, praiseworthy is the person who is fearful of God. Again, fearful here doesn't just mean like, oh, I'm cowering in the corner, right? To have yirat shamayim, yarei means to see. It means I'm always aware of God's presence in my life. I'm always aware that God is here. And therefore, the same way I behave differently if I'm alone in the room versus if someone else is in the room. So I have to have that consciousness, that awareness of God in all aspects of my life. B'mitzvosav chafetz ma'od, and I don't just do it, Rav Hirsch points out, because it is monotonous or because it's obligatory, but chafetz ma'od, I want to be doing this, says Rav Hirsch. He said he's not merely chafetz b'mitzvosav, but chafetz b'mitzvosav ma'od. It is the greatest delight to practice the mitzvos Hashem. I struggle with this sometimes, right? Morning minyan can sometimes be a little bit tedious. It can sometimes be a little bit difficult. But as I wrote about in a weekly a little while ago in an article, I said, there's one word that can change your entire definition of motivation, which is changing it from I have to I get to. Right? I don't have to go to Minyan this morning. I could have very easily not gone to Minyan. I get to go to Minyan. I get to have a conversation with Hashem. I get to tap into something that's so much bigger than myself and so much bigger than this world and something that gives me eternality. So b'mitzvosav chafetz me'od, it's not something I do. It's something I do with excitement. Something I do because I believe in. Something I do because I believe it enriches my life and elevates me at who I am. B'mitzvosav chafetz ma'od. Pasuk 2, Gibor ba'aretz yezaro. Someone who does this, their children, their descendants, will be Gibore aretz. They will be strong. They will be That'll be the reward that the Yirei Hashem gets. Dor Yisharim Yivarach. Dor Yisharim. Keep that phrase in mind. Because what's Dor Yisharim? That his children, Yedor Yisharim, V'yizkeh L'birchas Hashem, says the Das Mikra. That your descendants will be righteous. And they will be blessed because of your actions. In other words, our actions don't just impact us, but the lives that we live filter down to future generations, please God. Hon va'osher b'veso. Not only will your future generations reap the benefits of your actions, but hon va'osher b'veso, there'll be wealth and riches within your house. V'tzikaso omedes la'ad, and your righteousness will exist forever. The Das Mikra points out, by the way, I'm not going to get too much into this, but there are a lot of phrase comparisons between this chapter and the previous chapter. Tzidkaso omedes la'ad is one of them. Again, you can do that on your own. Rav Hirsch points out a very interesting question, which I'm sure many of you are thinking right now. Hon va'osher bebeso, wealth and riches are in his house. You and I know many Talmidei Chachamim, many righteous individuals, many great people who live their life with integrity, who are the farthest thing from wealthy and the farthest thing from rich that you can get. So what's this promise of hon va'osher bebeso, that there'll be wealth and riches in their house? Says Rav Hirsch that the word hon is related to the word own, which appears twice in Sefer Bereishis, which doesn't mean wealth in financial terms, but he says is also employed to mean it is sufficient. In other words, hasomeach bechelko, right? Hon va'osher beveso means that you'll be satisfied with what you have. Says Rav Hirsch, it could hardly be the intention of this verse to state that every man or woman who fears God and is loyal to his duty will either become wealthy or attain riches, and that therefore wealth and riches would be seen in his house. Torah's not guaranteeing that your portfolio is going to go up 30% if you start making minyan in the morning, right? That your portfolio is going to go up 50% if you start liking mitzvot as opposed to doing it begrudgingly. That's not what the Torah is promising. Rather, says Rav Hirsch, what is verse 3 promising? That true contentment can be found only in his house. In other words, instead of chasing riches, instead of chasing kavod and honor, right? Hon va'osher b'veso, you'll realize that the greatest blessings that you have are sometimes sitting right underneath your nose. This is, I've spoken about in Rosh Hashanah twice over the last 11 years. But I believe this is one of the great themes of Rosh Hashanah itself. For example, one of the Torah readings that we're going to read on Rosh Hashanah is the story of Hagar and Yishmael. Of course, Avram is forced to throw Hagar and Yishmael out of his house. That is what Sarah is demanding of him, even though it's difficult for Avram. Hagar and Yishmael end up in the desert, and Yishmael is dehydrated. And Hagar says, I can't watch it anymore. And so she puts Yishmael off into one corner, and then she goes into another corner, and she says, I can't look, I can't watch my son die. In and of itself is a very strange thing. And then she davens to Hashem. Angel hears the davening. What happens? The language says that Hashem opens up her eyes, and she sees there a well of water. Now you'll notice in the language, it does not say that Hashem created a well of water. The well was there the entire time. It simply says that Hashem opened up her eyes to notice and to see the well. In other words, the bracha, the blessing was there the entire time. Just Hagar was completely oblivious to it. You see that, by the way, in the story of the second day of Rosh Hashanah that we're going to read, the story of the Akedas Yitzchak. We're there. Avram brings Yitzchak to the mountaintop, to Har Moriah. He's about to sacrifice him. And at the last second, as the scalpel's about to come down, what does he notice? He notices a ram that is struggling in the bushes. I am not, trust me, I'm the farthest thing from liking animals on the planet, and I run like the wind when I get even near. I could be in the, like 18 miles into a run. If I see a dog, it could be on a leash, a mile away. I'm stopping, I'm not moving, and I'm sitting there. I actually just read an article the other day about a young woman, 17 years old, who was running in a forest. I don't know who runs in forests. Got to be crazy, a 17-year-old woman. But she's running in a forest, and she encountered a bear. Anyways, lo and behold, she ended up climbing a tree out of the reach of a bear, and she had to stay there overnight until the bear lost interest. You got to be crazy. But anyways, I don't know how I got into that. Oh, right, so Avram, I would imagine that if I'm Avram Avinu, and there is a ram about 20 feet from me, I would have noticed the entire time. The whole message of the story is that Avram was so focused, he had such tunnel vision, he was so distracted, that he didn't notice that the blessing from Hashem, or the moment of salvation, was literally 10 feet away from him. Until Hashem opens up his eyes and makes him aware of the blessing that's right underneath his nose. Right? Oftentimes, you and I have brachas in our lives that we don't even realize, that we don't even appreciate, that we are so busy with the rat race of life that we don't stop and pause and take stock of those blessings. That, says Rav Hirsch, is hon va'osher beveso. It doesn't mean your portfolio is going to go up. It doesn't mean your stocks, you're going to pick a good stock. Right? It means that you're going to recognize that there are blessings all around you. You're going to be content with what you have. You're going to realize that Hashem doesn't owe you anything, and that whatever gifts He's given you, even during these most difficult times, that we should be appreciative. If you haven't been able to see your children and grandchildren, thank God you have them. Right? Everyone has blessings underneath their noses. We just have to sometimes open up our eyes to see them and to appreciate them and to be content with them. That, says Rav Hirsch, is hon va'osher beveso. You're not going to have to run after riches. You're not going to always be chasing for desires and honor, but you're going to recognize it's right under your nose. Pasuk 4 is a magnificent pasuk, Zarach b'choshech or la'isharim, which is a nice way of saying that even though the world is going to be filled with darkness, the righteous will shine light and joy. Zarach b'choshech. In other words, even in the darkness, zarach, they are going to shine their light. They are going to be a beacon of light even in the darkest of times. Chanun v'rachum v'tzadi. Who are we talking about here? So again, the Meforshim are a little bit split onto who it is we're talking about here, but the Radak says, what does it mean? Chanun v'rachum v'tzadi? Ki hu b'drachav chanun v'rachum latovim. That Hashem is merciful to those who do good. U'merachem aleihem, and He has mercy on them. Umotzi osam min hatzara be'is tzara. And Hashem will save them from difficulties in times of need. Right? So, zarach b'choshech or le'isharim. Even when there's darkness all around the world, Hashem will allow the tzaddikim, the righteous, those people who live with honesty and integrity, He will allow them to shine and to experience light and joy. Why? Because He is chanun v'rachum, v'tzadik, because Hashem is righteous and Hashem is merciful. Tovish chonein umalve, right? It is good for a person, chonein umalve, a person who is merciful and giving, who conducts himself with honesty and integrity. Yichalkel dvarav b'mishvat. Again, he conducts his affairs with that sense of righteousness, with that sense of honesty. Ki leolam lo yimot lezecher olam yetzadik. And the person who lives this life, he will never falter. He will live with eternality. In other words, even no matter how many years he is on this earth, the values, the ethics, that which he lived for, is going to continue on for eternity. A person's life is not judged by the amount of years they are on this earth. A person's life is judged by their impact, by their behavior, by the way they conduct themselves. That's far more important. Pasuk Zion is a magnificent pasuk as well. This is talking about the person who has faith in Hashem. Mishmua ra lo yira. A person is not going to be afraid of anything bad. They're not going to be afraid of bad news. They're not going to be afraid of bad situations. Why? Nachon libo batuach b'Hashem. Because they place their faith in Hashem. In other words, I'm not going to be thrown out by the ups and downs of life, by whatever the world throws me, by a pandemic. But it doesn't faze me. Because good, bad, ugly, I put my faith in Hashem. I let go and I let God. I recognize that Hashem is ultimately in charge, and therefore I let go a little bit. Rav Hirsch points out on this pasuk that a man's happiness consists not only in the circumstance that things are well with him in that moment. In other words, we're not only happy when life goes well, but in that he can calmly face whatever the future might bring. He can calmly face. Mishmuel ra, lo ra, yira. He's not afraid of anything. And only a man who fears God and loyally does his duty to both God and man will know such peace of mind. Says Rav Hirsch, bitachon, emuna. Faith in Hashem provides you with a menuchas hanefesh, a sense of inner serenity, an inner tranquility, a recognition is that I cannot control the world, I can only control the way I react to it. And if I put my faith in Hashem, if I let go of my
mistaken notion that I can control everything, then I'll have that serenity, that peace of mind. Shmua Ra says, reverse evil tidings may strike fear and terror into the hearts of others. But the person who believes in God, his heart, will remain steadfast, sure in its trust of God. Right? We discussed this when we said, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid a few weeks ago, which we literally translated for, I place Hashem before me. But if you recall, the Baal Shem Tov explains it differently. That Shivisi means Hishtavut. In other words, this equanimity, this inner tranquility, this serenity, that Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, that I am inner peaceful. I don't get thrown off by the ups and downs of life. Why? Ki Hashem is negdi tamid, because I'm always in front of Hashem. When things are going really well, it's up from Hashem. Things are not going well, it's from Hashem. I let go, and I put my emunah in Hashem. Mishmua ra lo ra ira. You don't get afraid. You're not afraid by diagnosis. You're not afraid by pandemics, because you recognize that however difficult it is, everything comes from Hashem. Samuch libo lo ira. He won't fear because he is someich on Hashem. Because he is dependent, he is reliant on Hashem. Ad Ashir Yireh Bitzarab. Even when he sees his enemies succeed, he won't panic, but he'll keep his faith in Hashem. Pasuk Tes, Pizer Nasan Levyonim. He will freely give. Pizer refers to the other Meforshim point out, doesn't just mean give. That would be Natan. But Pizer means to scatter abroad in every direction. In other words, picture like taking a roll of coins and just going like that, right? In other words, it indiscriminately, just giving money out to the poor people. I once spoke to a someone I know, won't describe who, who's a, thank God, very affluent, very wealthy, a very prominent lawyer in New York. And I asked him, I said, you know, does it ever frustrate you that you're sitting in your office and every day people are coming, like there's a line out your door for charity? And you spend more of the time, right? Do you ever like wonder what these people are using the money for? Do you ever like bother you that sometimes you'll give your hard-earned money at tzedakah? And you know, some of these people are going to use it better than others. He looked at me, he said, Phil, he says, nowhere in the Torah does it tell me that I have to be the judge and jury. He says, nowhere in the Torah does it say my mitzvah tzedakah is to figure out exactly the right person to give tzedakah. He says, my mitzvah is to give tzedakah. It's on that person to decide how they want to spend it, how they want to use it. Person who uses it for good, they'll be rewarded from Hashem. Person who misuses my money, that's not on me. I still get the schar. I still get the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. It's on that person how they use it. So I was thinking of that when I read this pasuk, Pizer nasan levyonim. In other words, Pizer. You scatter the money. In other words, give tzedakah. Right? Don't make all these give tzedakah. Pizer nasan levyonim, tzidkaso menes la'ad. And if you do that, your righteousness, again, is going to last forever. Karno tarum bechavod, your keren, in other words, like your radiance, that which you stand for, tarum bechavod, that will bring you honor. Right? No, it's not how big your car is. It's not how fancy your house is. It's really be how fancy your car is, how big your house is. It's not the title that's in front of your name that's going to bring you honor. What brings you honor? How you live your life, your actions, the honesty, the charity. Right, that's what gives you honor. That's what gives you elevation. That's what gives you a sense of prominence. As opposed to, Pasuk 10, Russia. What's happening as I'm guaranteed all these blessings and all this goodness? What happens? Russia Yireh. The Russia is going to see this. V'chas. And he's going to get angry by it. Shinav Yacharok V'namas. Which means, a nice way of saying, like, you know when you're really mad? So you're like, God like this, right? So that's what the Russia is doing here. Tavas Rishaim Toved. All of the taivas, all of the desires of the Russia, they're gone. They're nothing, right? The person who chases after honor and the person who chases after the big cars and the big houses and the trappings of this world. That's here one day, gone the next. As we read in other Prakam of Tehillim, Ki lo b'moso yikach hakol. You can't take it with you. I got news for you. There's no moving truck that's coming with you to the cemetery. It's just the reality, right? Tavas rishaim toveid. Those are the stuff you and I chase after. All the frivolity of this world, all the narishkeit of the world. It's all going to be gone. What's going to be everlasting? Right? What's omedes la'ad? Our charity. What's omedes la'ad? The tzikaso omedes la'ad. Where is it? That's hon v'osher b'beiso. That's my ability to see the blessings, not externally, but internally, within my house. What's going to be omedes la'ad? It's going to be mishmu ra lo yira, not fearing and putting my faith in Hashem. Right? These are the things that create a sense of eternality. This is what is going to stand forever. This is what's going to give a sense of gibor ba'aretz yireh zaro dori sharim yivarach. Again, that I'm going to pass on to my next generations. Right? Yeah, I might be able to pass on some of my inheritance. Right? But in 2-3 generations, that might be gone. But you know what will be everlasting? What I lived for. Those values. The morals. The way I conducted myself. And so if chapter 111 was about seeing Hashem through nature, chapter 112 is seeing Hashem through each other. Is by looking at each other, looking at people who conduct their lives in a proper way, don't get sucked into the trappings of this world, but live a life of honesty, of integrity, of fidelity to Hashem and His mitzvos, a life of passion and commitment and dedication, values that are all absent in our Western rat race pace of life, right? But those are the things that's going to last forever. I'm reading an amazing book, and honestly, I'm 150 pages into it, and it was totally not what I was expecting, but it's called The 5 a.m. Club. So I thought it would be like a classic self-help book, wake up at 5 a.m., yada, yada, yada. I'm up to page 550. He hasn't even spoken about waking up at 5 a.m. yet. If you need a book that's going to energize you, to make you realize that you're not just here on this earth for dead weight, but you're here on this earth because God wants you to accomplish great things, that Hashem expects you to represent Him and His values in this world, that you and I can be the best version of ourselves, read this book. It's an amazing book. It really is. But one of the things he speaks about over and over again is how you and I, because of technology and distraction, are really distracting ourselves from our ability to manifest our greatness. That because we are cyber morons, really, and I use that word, I'm sorry to use that phrase, but we're cyber morons. In other words, we sit there all day like this in front of Facebook and in this in front of Instagram, and we're surfing the internet. You think God put us on this earth to surf the internet? You think God put us on this earth to mindlessly flip through Facebook and stare at other people's lives? You think that's what Hashem wants from us? No, that's tavas rishayim. That's absurdity. Again, you need it here and there. I understand it. I use it for work. I get it. But that's not the be-all and end-all of who I am. That's not what's going to define my life. That's not what's going to give me the sense of wealth, of hon va'osher, that inner contentment. I want to share with you one last idea, and it's from the Netziv's introduction to Sefer Bereishis. And it really ties together everything that you and I have been discussing here this morning. Says the Netziv, and again, it's really famous. If you've heard it, I apologize. If not, then it was worth coming to this class just to hear this. But the Netziv writes in his introduction to Sefer Bereishis that while we call it Bereishit, Genesis, the Nevi'im call it Sefer HaYashar, which means the book of the upright. And again, you can get this on Sfaria. Just Google Netziv introduction to Bereishis. It'll take you right to this. There's the English here as well. Why do they call it, right? Meforish Rav Yochanan Zeh, Sefer Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, Shenikru Yisharim. That this is the book of our forefathers who were called Yisharim. They were called the upright ones. Now, that is interesting. Because as the Netziv points out, it doesn't call them tzadikim, righteous. It doesn't call them chasidim. It doesn't call, I don't know how you translate a chasid, right? But a overly righteous person, right? It doesn't call them that. What does it call them? It calls them yisharim. It calls our avos and imos, our matriarchs and patriarchs, upright, yashar, honest. Why is that? Why is that specifically the description that is used? Says Rav Hirsch the following. Says the Netziv the following. He says that when Hashem is, right, v'hine inan dinisbar b'shiris hazinu, hatzur tamim palo, tzadik v'yasharhu, Hashem is described as righteous and upright. D'shevach yashar, what does it mean that we praise a person as upright? Hu neman lahatzdik din HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chorban bayis sheni. Shidur akash upitaltel. The second bayis, the second generation, the second Beis HaMikdash, so they were tzaddikim. They were righteous. They were chassidim. They learned Torah. They did mitzvos. They did everything right. Ach, lo hayu yisharim behalichos olamim. What were they missing? They were simply not good people. They were not mensches. They didn't treat each other with respect and with honesty and dignity. They didn't conduct their business affairs in the correct way. And so even though they were great tzaddikim and they were great chassidim, what were they lacking? They were not yashar. They were not upright. They were not honest. They were not dignified. And so therefore it says in the Tziv, Vizehaya Sheva Chavos. This is the greatest praise we can give to our forefathers. Shemilvad Shayu Tzadikim V'chassidim. Yes, they were righteous, and yes, they were chassidim. Ve'ove Hashem, and they loved God. That's all amazing. But what describes them? Od Hayu Yesharim. The greatest description of them was that they were yashar. They were upright. Haynu Shehis Nagu Im Umos Ha'olam Afilu Ovdei Gelul Mechorim. In other words, they interacted with everyone, even the most disgusting, despicable idolaters. Mikomakom Hayu Imam Be'ahava V'chashu L'tovasam. Our avos still loved them. They loved wicked people. And they wanted what was best for them. Bashir Haya Kiyum Habriya. Why? Because they were the creations of Hashem. And therefore explains in Itziv, that's why Avram Avinu doesn't turn a blind eye to Sodom, but he davens for Sodom. And that's why he goes on with Noach, and with Yitzchak, and he goes in Yaakov, right, who cared about Lavan. He goes through all of our avos. And he says they didn't just care about their relationship with Hashem, but they cared about their relationship with each other. They cared about every single human being. And so therefore they're not just a tzaddik, and they're not just a chassid, which are descriptions of your relationship with Hashem, but they are also yashar. They are straight. They were mensches. They cared about every human being. When they went to the supermarket and they saw the person behind the counter, they said, hello, how are you? How is your day? And they used her or his name. They took someone who's invisible and they made them feel like they mattered. Right? When they had a stressful moment and they walked by someone, they didn't, right? No, they said, hi, good morning, how are you? Right? If you ever walked with Reshechter, Reshechter knows Kola Torah Kula. Backwards, forwards, upside down, inside out. If you've ever walked with Rav Shechter, you'll notice that no matter what he's in the middle of, if he encounters another human being while you are walking, could be Jewish, non-Jewish, Rav Shechter will smile at them and say, good morning, how are you? Right? I was with Rav Shechter when we were once in Congressman Ted Deutsch's office. And Rav Shechter, again, who knows Kola Torah Kula? So we got to the office. Rav Shechter hadn't eaten all day, and he wanted to eat some grapes. So before he ate some grapes, though, he went over to the secretary, and after having a brief conversation with her, he said, do you mind, is it okay if I eat in this office? So she said, yeah, like, of course, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I have such respect for this office. I'm in a congressman's office. I don't want to desecrate this office. I want to ask for permission if I'm allowed to eat here or not. Right? That's not someone who's a tzaddik. That's not someone who's a chassid. That's a yashar. That's someone who's upright. That's someone who conducts themselves with that sense of integrity, with dignity. And that's ultimately, I believe, what chapter 112 is about. 112 doesn't just relate to our us and Hashem. Yes, there's Pasuk 1, which is Yirei Hashem, B'mitzvosav chafetz ma'od. But you know what else chapter 112 is about? It's about Tovish Chanun, Choneinu Malveh. It's about someone who lends. In other words, you take care of people who are in need. Yichakel Dvarab B'mishpat. And when I do business dealings, I'm not that shark. But what am I? I do it with honesty. I do it with integrity. I'm yashar. I'm a yashar person. I'm a mensch. Right? What do? Pizer, nasan, levyonim. I give money. I don't just care about my relationship with Hashem, but my relationship with people. I trample over people. No, I care equally about people as I do about my relationship with Hashem. And so this chapter is, yes, about being a tzaddik. And yes, it's about being a chassid. But it's also about being yashar. It's about being an honest person. It's about living a life with integrity. It's about living a life with values of how not only you relate to Hashem, but how you relate with each other. And if you do that, if you live a life that you can be proud of, That you can look yourself in the mirror at night and say, I wasn't just busy today, but I was productive. That I did things that were priorities for me. That I accomplished what Hashem wanted from me today. Then we truly fulfill the first two words of this pasuk of this chapter, hallelujah. That is the greatest praise of Hashem. That if Hashem took the time to create the world, and if Hashem took the time to create every single one of us, then the least we can do is not to play down those skills and to play down those expectations, but to rise up towards that challenge. To say, Hashem wants me here for a reason. I'm going to live my life to the fullest capacity, fulfilling all of my potential. And that's why I'll end with what I started. Thank you to the Abramovitz family for sponsoring today's class in memory of a dear friend, Dana Petrover, who we lost all too suddenly this week after a tragic illness, a difficult illness. But anyone who knew Dana, her smile, her sense of inner serenity, the way that she treated every single person, then you will know very well that this chapter described her in every sense of the word. And that when you interacted with her, when you dealt with her, when you saw her, again, during the good times and even the last number of months during the challenging times, she never once complained. She never once was bitter. She never once projected that on other people. She, when didn't have to, took care of children and grandchildren. She had two of my children as her teachers, and they loved her. They truly loved her because she didn't just talk the talk, but she walked the walk. She conducted her life in a way that is truly v'tzidkaso omedes la'ad, something that is eternal, something that will define her far beyond the limited number of years that Hashem blessed her with on this earth, but something that can continue, God willing, for generations and generations, through future generations, through her children and through her grandchildren, through the life that she lived and the way that she'll be remembered for many, many years to come. I want to wish everyone a meaningful week, a week filled with simcha and happiness and joy and good health. And please, God, again, I yearn this more than anything, that you and I should be zochet to be learning together in person. Please, God, near and in the future. Everyone have a wonderful week.